This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
So I call into the podcast today. I arrived at the studio, and everybody's crying and hugging Ashley. Ashley, tell listeners what you did today.
What the heck? I just got our team gifts for Christmas. I just didn't think it was that big a deal.
How sweet is Ashley, everybody?
Oh, I shouldn't be getting notoriety for this.
Well, you know what? You know what? You shouldn't be asking for notoriety for this, but you should be getting it by somebody else. And I'm giving it to you. Ashley I. Canetti walks into studio today, hands out gift cards for the whole entire team. Everybody's emotional. They're so thankful and so excited. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's who you're listening to on a daily basis. Ashley I. Canetti, the friend, the confidant, the person who will sacrifice anything for their neighbor.
Wow.
And incredibly generous, Ashley I. Canetti.
Wow, Ben, thank you. Next week, I will come up with something to praise you on, which is really just your whole being. Like, I don't think I need to
do something worthy of being praised for.
You
first.
Do something every day of your life. You have like multiple charities. Everything with you is just for the betterment of other people.
Well, okay, that's enough about me. But I do want to talk about myself for a second.
Okay.
I call in today, and producer Tori, Mark, Easton, and Ashley go, Robin, I like the beard.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't wait to tell you this story. So I saved the story for this moment.
Okay.
I need you all to sit with me for a second, okay? I was away from Denver for the last month and a half.
What?
Yeah, it's been crazy.
No way. Well, I'm sure your roommate liked that, having the place to himself.
He moved out.
Oh.
He's gone.
Okay.
So nobody's here.
No.
So I was away for a month and a half. I'm in Indiana for Thanksgiving, and then I hung out for a few more days before I was heading to Los Angeles for a day. And I have to get to the airport, Fort Wayne, Indiana's airport. I arrive 43 minutes before my flight. The bag with everything that I've collected in the month.
You were 2 minutes late.
Yeah, 2 minutes late. My bag doesn't make the plane. I have all of my toiletries, all of my clothes inside of it. Everything literally I own was in this massive Eagle Creek bag that doesn't make the plane. So my parents take it back home with them to Warsaw, Indiana. They ship it out here. UPS
has like
not
$200.
Found my bag. Oh, it's so much money. So my bag is still missing. I don't have my trimmer. I don't have any of my toiletries. I had to buy a new toothbrush and toothpaste. And I brought my retainers with me, luckily. And so this beard is not on purpose. It's necessary right now. But here's what happened. So here's what this whole thing I think gets really interesting. I have a friend out here in Denver, Colorado named Jordan Lewis. Jordan Lewis is a terrific human. She is an esthetician here in Denver. And she says, Ben, I see you're growing a beard. You need to come in for a facial because the one side of your beard just doesn't grow in that well. And I'm going to do some like shock therapy on your face. And it's going to help the hair grow back. And it did.
No.
Oh, my. I mean, have you ever seen me have a beard like this?
No, it looks really good. I really like it when you have like your longer hair and you have a beard and you're a little more rugged. Jared needs to know about this shock therapy on your face because you know that his patchy facial hair is like his biggest insecurity.
Exactly. Jared and I have one inside of my face has like some patchy hair. Jordan fixed me. This thing is not only does my blackheads, they're gone. And my wrinkles are removed and everything in my face feels shiny and fresh. But my beard is growing back fuller.
That's really cool. Okay, I'm going to have to look into this. Can you tell me what she does? I feel like it's like a plasma thing. That would be like a plasma thing.
Honestly, I just kind of laid there, closed my eyes, and let her do some weird stuff to my face. There was like at one point there was a jelly mask on and there was like steam blowing at me with like roller balls going over my forehead. It got really intense, very relaxing.
Is that your first facial?
Yeah. Well, kind of. I've had a mask before.
No, masks don't count. Like have you ever like gone into a spa and done that whole hour process before?
No.
Okay. Did you like it? I get Jared.
Love it.
I get Jared to go every now and then because his nose just gets full of blackheads. And whenever I'm here in person with you, I'm always looking at your skin. And I'm like, he has the clearest pores.
Well, you know what I think it is? I wash often.
Okay. That's
I don't know. I really don't know. But it was my first facial. Jared needs to find out about this. Blackhead removals. I'm a pretty happy guy. Jessica just left this morning from Denver. We had a great weekend together. I got a facial. Ashley, catch us up. How was married life?
First of all, you guys, that was not an ad for Manscaped, even though I'm wondering where your Manscaped is, because you can use it on your face. I know they say it's for your, you know, down there area, but you can use it on your face. Married life is great. Our place is super cozy for Christmas, and that's my favorite time. Jared and I are going to the Star Wars premiere tonight, so I did something for him this week, which was I watched the two sequels, so, you know, the ones with Adam Driver, the past 2 days, and now today will be, like, my fifth or sixth hour of Star Wars, and today I even braided my hair like a modern-day Princess Leia for Jared, so... You know?
You are something else today. Holy, listen to Ashley I just loving on everybody. Not even, are you still Ashley I, by the way?
I'm still Ashley I. Yeah, I'm not going to change my last name until I think we have kids or before the kid's born. Because do you know what a process that is for women? Nobody used to talk about this process like during our parents' generation. You have to go get your passport, your social security stuff, your business stuff, your driver's license, all that stuff. You need to go like into the offices and change your name. That's hard work. That's a lot of lines. It's a lot of waiting.
Well, it's going to be hard for me to switch from Ashley. I just, by the way,
I don't think I'll ever, I think stage wise, if we want to call myself a stage name, I think it'll always be I.
Do you want to hear something interesting about me?
Yeah.
I've never seen a Star Wars movie.
What?
Yeah. I never have.
That's so nuts. How is that?
I don't know how it's happened, but I'm going to Essex, Connecticut for Christmas with Jessica's family, and her brother's a big Star Wars fan, and I've committed to him that I watch Star Wars with him while we're up there.
That's cool. That's many hours if you're going to go do all nine of them.
No, there's no way I'm watching all nine. So maybe one.
I always thought that I would hate it more than I do. I never seen the originals, which I actually do think I'd hate. Because I don't know, that seems really nerdy. But the prequels, I was really into Hayden Christensen as a teenager. I had my own cardboard cut out of him in my room. I had a lightsaber. My sister and I used to do duels. It was really fun.
Didn't we all?
And did you do lightsaber duels without having watched?
Without a brother or sister, yes. Dad or mom, take that lightsaber and I'm going to whip you over the face with it.
Aww. What other movies would I be shocked to know that you haven't seen?
Well, in college, here's an interesting thing. My college roommate, Corey Barnett, made a list of 20 movies that I had not seen that he believed I need to see. So, like, everything from, like, Drive to Taxi to, you know, I don't even know if I've seen the full Dirty Dancing, which I know is really going to mess you up.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. That's just one of those rewatchables for me. A podcast that Jared and I love listening to together is called The Rewatchables. And basically, like, any movie that you were just scrolling through the channels and then you see that it's on and you just have to click it no matter how many times you've watched it. They talk about, how many times you've seen it. They talk about those movies and they break the movie down like for an hour and a half. So some of these breakdowns are just as long as the movies themselves. But it's a really good listen. And you get to kind of like relive the movie while listening to them as well.
I'm not a big movie guy. I love movies. I haven't seen many of them. Hey, Ashley, we've got a big podcast. We've got to get to what we're talking about today. But before we do, I want to take a second here and tell everybody that we, again, are so pumped to see them in San Francisco, California. Katie Morton, Sydney, Derek Paith, Annalise, many, many more. I mean, I'm telling you, the next lineup of people will blow your mind. But the lineup is already terrific. We're going to be there January 11th. Doors will open at 7 p.m. It is going to be held at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. Again, that's January 11th. You got to go online and buy tickets. Please go to Ticketmaster.com to pick up tickets today to see Ashley, myself. And if you're not excited about that, I get it. I mean, I'd be excited to see Ashley. You're going to be really pumped about this next group that's coming through. Also, another big announcement about the Almost Famous podcast. The last few weeks have been incredible for this podcast. We are moving and grooving and moving right into Peter's season of The Bachelor. But before we get there, we have an opportunity to sit down with a former Bachelor, Chris Soules, to catch up on his life. This interview is going to be one of our in-depth episodes. It's going to air the 23rd of December. So make sure you go and listen to Chris Soules' first interview kind of back into the world. to our in-depth episode, December 23rd. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, on this podcast, we're going to break down Peter's Women. They have been announced. They have been exposed. Ashley and I have them in front of us. I have not looked at them yet. Our opinions will be raw, unfiltered, uncensored, and real. And before we break down this next season of The Bachelor, Ashley, let's take a quick break.
Oh my goodness, Rothy's, Rothy's, Rothy's. You know, Meghan Markle loves it and I love it too. And I don't know if you can get it in time for Christmas now, but if you're going to do a delayed gift for anyone in your life that wears flats regularly, you're going to have to get them Rothy's, because Rothy's are the only flats I've ever encountered in my life that don't cut up the back of my heel. And what's really cool about them is that not only are they stylish, but they're made from recycled plastic water bottles. They're really, really comfy and they're fully machine washable. And they have nearly 1,000 perfect reviews online. So they're comfy, they're sustainable, they're stylish. They have all different kinds of colors and patterns that come out in rotation all the time. There's always something new on the website. They come with free shipping and free returns and exchanges, and there's no risk, no worries. So no reason not to try, because the only reason not to try is that you're going to get so addicted that you're going to want to buy all of their stuff. And then you may be spending a little bit of money, but they're going to be worth it because you're going to wear them so often. It really puts together an outfit. You can check out all the amazing styles available right now at Rothy's.com/famous. So go to Rothy's.com. That is Rothy's.com/famous to get your new favorite pair of flats. I guarantee you that they're going to be your new favorite flats. I've had friends steal them out of my closet and not give mine back because they're like, oh, these are different, in the best way possible. So Rothy's.com/famous, head there today.
Again, on this podcast, we're going to break down Peter's Women for this upcoming season of The Bachelor. But before we do, we're going to talk about hot topics, and also we're going to read through one thing that I don't think I ever did before this podcast, Ashley, is the press release for The Bachelor comes out, and it speaks to so much about the show, and that just came out this week as well. I want to read through the press release before we break down the women. But Ashley, before we get there, there are some hot topics in Bachelor Nation right now, and you want to talk about them.
Yes. Okay, so Peter's season is obviously coming out in a couple weeks, and there's this new clip out online where Chris Harrison tells Peter at some point in the season, you need to make this right. So it sounds like Chris might be like, you messed up. You gotta deal with it.
Ashley, here's what I have to say to that. We've seen how many teasers since we started this podcast. I mean, we've watched and analyzed teasers and short clips for the last, you know, 2.5 years. It wasn't really until Colton's season that these teasers actually became reality, right? When we watch it, typically it's like, oh, this is way overblown. This is actually going to happen. This is like, it's not going to be what we think it is. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden The Bachelor's playing this game with us, I think, because I watch this and I go, something happened. Peter did something. It's believable that he really messed up. And now he needs to fix it. And this is what the storyline is going to be the whole time. I mean, how many times are we going to have to see this clip?
So many times. Maybe this is going to be the new fence jumping. And then with Hannah, when she had the Luke confrontation. But you know what? Both of those times, it built up to something that was just as good as the teasers made it seem. So perhaps we're going to have the same thing here.
If you could imagine what Peter did to mess up, what would it look like to you? Like, if you, I mean, this is totally shooting in the dark. We have no clue. But like, in what ways could a bachelor really mess up?
I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to just throw out a theory here, even though I'm not even sure this theory has legs at all. I'm just coming up with something. Could it be because he seems so invested in Hannah B and she makes multiple appearances that perhaps Chris is like, the women are feeling really bad about themselves. You have to make this right. There's my made-up theory. What about yours?
I mean, I would think if Hannah walked onto this season, automatically she's not only going to have a target on her back from the other women, their other women are definitely going to feel insecure. I'm going to finish my thought there because I've been in this. Jared could speak to this. When Caitlin's season was happening, we were all moving forward. It was going great. And then all of a sudden, Nick comes on and she lets him come onto the show. And to all of us, how we interpreted it when we were living in the house was, we're not good enough. She needs to bring in somebody else. It scared us all. It made us all feel very insecure. It made us all wonder what we were doing there. It wasn't that we were mad at Nick. We thought we didn't belong. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if Hannah B comes in and Peter says, please come join us, if the women start to feel that way, which would really mess up the group.
Yeah. Okay. So good theory. Good theory. We just created a great theory.
We have no clue if it's true. No.
So last Tuesday, Katie Morton and Chris Bukowski announced that they have split. And Katie has since said that she's thankful for Chris. Still, of course, you know, relationships, they help us grow. And eventually the things we learn from that relationship get us to whoever we were meant to be with, I believe.
I'm not shocked. And this is why, actually. Katie was with us in Napa. Mm-hmm. And when we talked to her, she was very vulnerable. If you listen back to the episode, I remember her saying, hey, this has been really hard. It's not perfect. It's not even like sometimes great. It's just like really hard. We're figuring this out. Like, was the language being used over and over and over again? She was nothing but honest and authentic with us. And I think at some point when it continues to be hard and hard, and hard is the definition of what your relationship is, then you have to decide, are we going to continue to push to try to make this better and have more joy in our lives? Or is it best that we move forward? And it sounds like you just move forward. But when I saw this, it's unfortunate. I like them both a lot as people. I'm just not shocked.
Yeah, no, me neither. And it's bad if your relationship is that hard in the first 6 months. That should be the most honeymoon phase that you're going to go through. And I've been reading that book, you know, The Five Love Languages, and how those first 2 years, they should be pretty smooth sailing. But then after that, of course, marriage is work. That's figuring out your lives together. But at this point, I feel like Katie and Chris shouldn't have been having as hard of a time. And Katie did what – she was interesting when she was on our podcast, because she said she wasn't posting a lot about them on social media because she feels like a lot of people trying to make their life look so great on social media. But she was like, if our relationship isn't going that great, I don't want to false advertise it just for the sake of likes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I respect anybody that – here's the thing. There are some things that vulnerability, like there's some moments that vulnerability is not appropriate, I think. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that a podcast can kind of like walk that thin line between being super like vulnerable and honest and like kind of holding stuff back. For you and I think we've gotten pretty used to just saying it and knowing that there's going to be feedback, positive and negative. For Katie, I think she handled it well. I think Chris handled it well. They went and they did their best. They tried hard. They fell in love. It didn't work out. They move on, and we move on now together. And I hope that they can find their perfect match. Hey, here's the thing. Katie's going to be with us in San Francisco. So now we have a whole new thing to talk to her about, is what does life look like post-bachelor relationship?
Mm-hmm. And rolling off of this story, Becca Kufrin recently called the place where they keep engagement rings of relationships that haven't worked in The Bachelor a graveyard for the scorned. Oh. Then do you know where they land? I hear that they like land with a producer and they truly don't know what to do with them. So it's like in a drawer. And there's like tags on them. Like, this was the ring of so-and-so. This was the ring of so-and-so. I don't know.
That would be amazing. I don't know where mine went. All I can say is I never followed up. But if somebody has that thing, it was a massive piece of jewelry.
It really like, was that is, gigantic.
That was not a small thing. So like whatever drawer that's sitting in better be locked a couple times.
So Becca had a great idea that they should auction them off for charity. Of course, you're not going to want to give the woman that you're proposing to a ring of somebody's relationship that didn't work out. But still, like for some rich people out there who want a token from the Bachelor franchise, they're going to make a couple thousand off each ring for sure. And I don't think it's a bad idea.
So here's a new trend that I've heard about. And listeners, this is the first time we'll call on you. This this has been fun for us, as I say, every episode. But please write us at Ben and Ashley at iHeartMedia.com. or tweet us and tag the Almost Famous Podcast so we can read your tweets. Here's a new trend in proposals is going and buying a ring at an estate sale or a ring that has been used and maybe not kept. Buying that, refurbishing it, and then giving it to your partner. They're a lot cheaper. It's like a used car in a sense. Gonna get some mileage off of it still. I want to hear what you all think. Is that weird? Is that gross? Or does it work?
I don't know how I don't think I'd want. Do I want a ring of somebody that they just needed to sell their ring because they needed money and the marriage is still intact? Then I'd be like, okay, yeah. But if it's from a doomed marriage, I don't know if I want that juju.
I don't know. I mean, I can see the plus because, you know, a ring is a symbol. I know it holds weight and I know it is very important, but I don't disagree with the idea of reusing a ring. I think it means a very similar thing. But hey, we want to hear from you. We want your opinions. Please write us. And also please let us know if you'd be interested in having and buying one of the old Bachelor rejected rings.
All right. So Jason Mesnick's season of The Bachelor is now up on Netflix. So you can watch that cringy finale now. My sister's been doing it. I feel like I've heard a lot of people on Instagram and Twitter that have been watching Jason's season. And I have to say, Jason's season may have been the one before I started watching The Bachelor. And it's probably the only one I would ever go back in time and watch just because of, you know, his successful marriage with Molly now and the fact that there was such a twist at the end. And I would love to watch it through the eyes of me knowing what happens today with that situation. But the funny thing is Mesnick's like 15-year-old is just found it on Netflix and Jason doesn't know what to do. Does he let the kid watch it and all the cringe that it is because now his stepmom is, you know, his stepmom is in it and she was dumped? Or he said, do I send my kid off to boarding school in Switzerland?
Yeah, that is a good question. You let him watch it.
Yeah.
Let that kid soak up the awkwardness. I can't wait till one day my kid is just so embarrassed by me. I don't want him to watch The Bachelor. That's just going to feel weird for a lot of reasons. But I would love to just embarrass my child in a good way, healthy way, healthy way. Yeah, very healthy way.
That is hilarious. Ben, you can also now book Chris Harrison to officiate your wedding, whether or not you are a bachelor couple. How do you feel about your friend, Chris? Just being
what's his rate?
I don't know. I didn't look at it, but I'm afraid to look. It's probably not listed on his new website. I think it's at chrisharrison.com because they probably want to keep that information private and you have to send an email to inquire.
I mean, it can't be cheap. Would I want Chris Harrison?
If you're a super fan of the show, it's cool.
It's super cool. Chris is great and he does a great job at it. I just think it's wild that like Chris would fly. I just think celebrity officiants feels weird to me.
I feel like he's got to be. I mean, maybe it's not appropriate of me to throw out some numbers, but I would say it's probably at least 20,000.
Way more.
You think it's more? Yeah, I think it's more too. I think it's way more. It might be twice that.
I have no clue, but I'm imagining it's more than that. Wow. You know what? What a world we live in where Chris Harrison will show up to Warsaw, Indiana to marry a couple if they pay for it. That would be a spectacle in itself.
Our last bit of Bachelor news for the week is my good friend Jade Tolbert came out saying that she felt like a failure because baby Brooks has low weight. They went to the doctor last week and they found out that he's in the bottom 5% percentile for weight at this month, which is month 4 for him. And she feels horrible because, you know, she blames herself, but they've had a lot of issues with him eating and having allergies and intolerances and stuff. So she just feels super guilty, which she shouldn't. It's not on her.
You know, Jade has always been very open about her, I think, successes and struggles in pregnancy and also like life as a mother.
Yeah.
So it feels like I've learned a lot. I mean, I remember when Tanner came on the podcast and explained some stuff. Like, I'm constantly learning from all of these people that we follow on social media about their about motherhood, really, mm-hmm. and pregnancy. Is this common? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, listeners, mothers out there, Ashley, anybody in studio, like, is it common to – is there a bunch of reasons why this could be the case? Is it genetics? It's not – what is going on here?
Well, so I knew that they were having issues with him, especially like the month that he was born. He just was super uncomfortable and crying all the time. They figured out that he was allergic to something or intolerant. She couldn't eat dairy and then pass on the milk that had dairy parts in it to him. So right now she's edited her diet to not include any dairy, and I believe it might include something else. So I'm just going to read her caption here. Our feeding journey with Brooks has been a really hard one. We've dealt with dairy and soy allergies that left him crying for hours and hours, from malabsorption, a lip and tongue tie, which I'm not sure what it is, which we were advised not to revise, although they give him a poor latch. I guess that means when he breastfeeds. Milk supply issues, foremilk and high milk imbalance. Like, all this is stuff I don't even know, and things that you learn when you become a parent, I guess. It feels like the list goes on. One of my biggest worries as a mother of little babies is that they're not getting enough to eat and that they're not gaining enough weight. We went to Brooks' four-month checkup, and I was crushed to find out that he's in the fifth percentile and that the pediatrician was very concerned about his weight gain. I've never felt more like a failure. The feelings of guilt that my baby was aching for food and nutrition and I didn't know consumed me. I knew he was a string bean and tall for his age, but with how hard we work on his feelings, I guess I didn't think that he was any tinier compared to other babies his age. It can be hard to fully give your attention to each child sometimes when you're taking care of a baby and a toddler too. I feel so bad. I may have been missing some cues from him that I didn't know he was showing. I've changed my whole diet and so many other parts of my life to make sure he's getting good feedings. So it's just so hard to find out that it wasn't enough. We were recommended by his doctor to supplement after every breastfeeding session to add extra feedings. So we'll be doing that with hypoallergenic formula, and hopefully that'll help put on weight before his weight gain checkup. Any other mamas out there that have had this issue? So she's reaching out to the moms as well.
This is something that, like, even as you say this stuff, like, I don't know if I'm getting intimidated because I don't know what you just said.
Yeah, other than the fact that, me neither.
You know, Jade and Tanner obviously care a lot. It's great. You know, the one cool thing about this social media generation is it does connect people. And so it sounds like Jade is reaching out. And when you reach out, here's the thing that happens. You realize that you're never alone, no matter what your struggle is, or no matter what your questions are. And so I hope at this moment, everybody wraps their arms, all the moms wrap their arms around Jade. Give her any insight, advice. Doctors do the same. Love and support, and let Jade feel less alone.
Yeah.
Ashley, is that the hot topics?
That is our hot topics. You did mention that there's a new press release, different from the one that we talked about last week, with a little bit more detail. So I think we should read that over and judge the women after this break.
I can't believe it. We've made it through another offseason. At least we're really close. This has been one of the most fun off seasons that we've had. Ashley, you took a big break. You had a lot happening. I took a big break. I had a lot happening. But we made it, and we've came back to kind of the finish line. Now stuff starts beating up. Every week we're going to have an episode here coming up in just like 3 weeks. Life for us is going to get wild and crazy, and we're going to be diving into Peter's journey. But Ashley, I want to ask you, do you think it's helpful if I read the press release for everybody out there listening?
I think it actually is, because it gives us a nice little outlook of what we have in store this season.
Okay, here we go. Celebrity appearances by country music star Chase Rice, fashion expert Carson Kressley, iconic supermodel Janice Dickinson, Bachelor in Paradise star Demi Burnett, and comic actor Fred Willard. How many times has he been back on the show?
Is it a joke now that he makes an appearance every year?
It's the best joke I've ever heard of. It's fantastic. And what do you think Demi's doing back?
I feel like they always like calling in Demi because she's going to do something outrageous.
Yeah, she's hilarious. She's a good one. Okay, well, hey, here's the press release. So that's what you're going to get yourself into. What does a hard-charging career woman from a family of elite lawyers, a delightfully quirky bombshell full of self-doubt, a beauty who can be a real beast. Uh-oh.
Nope, that's Hannah.
A gorgeous girl next door who is a hoopster at heart and a sophisticated city girl who speaks her mind all have in common? They're all on the hunt for love with Peter Weber when the 24th edition of The Bachelor premieres with a blockbuster three-hour special Monday, January 6th. Romantic and adventurous dates will test the women's perseverance in pursuing their romantic objective, along with fun, exciting, and exotic dates that will elicit real and raw passions. A star-studded runway walk-off pits eight fashionable ladies strutting their stuff for Revolve, with celebrity judges Carson Kressley, the original Queer Eye fashion expert, and television personality and legendary model Janice Dickinson deciding who wore and walked it the best. Fan favorite Demi Burnett surprises some of the women with an extreme pillow fight with Chris Harrison and Bachelor franchise regular, here it is, Fred Willard. Who would have thunk this? Doing the play-by-play honors, country star Chase Rice performs for Peter and one lucky woman, but this special date has a real twist. As the journey continues internationally to Costa Rica, Chile, Peru, and beyond, relationships have a chance to flourish, and more surprises await the unsuspecting bachelor. Will Peter open his heart and find the woman of his dreams who will love him back? None of us know.
All right, so I did a draft, a live draft yesterday of the women, and now I'm reading that, and I'm putting some things together. But I also don't want to, like, do spoilers, but I know this, the girl that's a lawyer, I'm going to tell you guys a little something.
Here's a spoiler alert.
It's doing a little digging. I don't even think it's a spoiler. I think if you like do a little digging, you'll find this out.
Okay.
I don't know where the info is from, though. So, okay, anyway. The girl who's a lawyer met Peter at a wedding after she was casted. And she went up to him at the wedding and said, "Hey, I'm going to be on your season."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'd do.
Oh, another thing. Lots of these are like bombshell, beauty, all that. There are about six girls with a past with Miss USA. So apparently they really liked the Hannah and Kaylin storyline last year, because this season there are about five girls who've competed in Miss USA, along with some who have won their state, and one that was Miss Teen of her state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I really think this season is going to blow our minds. I have high hopes for Peter.
Me too. And Janice Dickinson, because Janice Dickinson was one of the guest judges on Top Model, and she's going to rip them to shreds.
Oh, she will hold back nothing. Hey, by the way, I'm supposed to talk to Peter tonight. I don't know about what.
Is it advice time? Is it one of the times like Ben is like grandfathered into this and he like does like a prep chat with them before everything goes live?
Here's my chat. Never watch it with your grandma. Ever. Don't ever watch it with your grandma. Okay. Hey, Ashley, I'm going to do this. We did this last year.
Yeah.
It was a blast. You're really good at this. I'm going to try to pronounce these names. I'm going to warn you now. Some of these I'm going to get wrong. I'm not like trying to do it wrong. I just sometimes I don't do it right. So I ask for everybody's grace and forgiveness here. I'm going to try my best. Ashley, I'm going to read the name.
Mm-hmm.
You need to give me your first word to like what you think of when you look at them.
Yeah.
This is a very, very judgmental episode. It always is,
oh,
but
yeah,
it's a blast.
You guys can't judge us for judging, all right? We're going to make this clear.
You can
really
definitely judge us. Get mad at us.
I'm
going to
be blunt like I was last year, and I don't want you guys to hate me, okay? You know you're doing the same thing at home.
So here's the thing. We're going to run through it. First word to describe them.
Oh, we
ask everybody
we have
out
their
there
photos
listening
in front of us too, guys.
Yeah, to do the same. All right, Ashley, let's get going. Here is Alea.
Alea, Miss Texas 2019 from San Antonio. I'm looking at this picture right now. Let's see. Alea. I think she's going to be a bit much.
I think she falls in love really fast.
Okay, get it.
Alexa.
Alexa, an esthetician from Chicago. She's 27. She's one of the older girls at 27. I think she's adorable. Chris Harrison is calling her, who is a body waxer, the best hair of the group of girls. And I agree. She's got really cute hair.
What's your first word to describe her?
Cute.
Yeah, cute. You know what I think? My first assumption is she is a house favorite, meaning the women in the house like her a lot. Like, okay, she's one that people cry when she gets sent home, if she gets sent home. They're not making it easy on me this year. Avalia.
Okay. 27, cattle rancher from Fort Worth, Texas. She looks like she's not afraid to tell you if she doesn't like you.
And Chris Harrison says, here's the thing. She's a lot more reserved than you think.
Oh,
to me, she is an early exit. That's what I think.
Okay. You're right.
Courtney,
to me, is 26. She's a cosmetologist from Venice, Florida. She's also participated in, it's not Hooters. She works at, like, Wing House or something. She competed in their beauty contests. This is one of the fun facts I learned yesterday during this live bachelor draft. Okay, so I say she looks like a mix of Ashley S. and Claire Crawley, and I imagine her to be just as much of a force on the show.
Yeah, I think she's going to be – when I look at her, I'm thinking storyline.
Mm-hmm,
and I also think of this. Great necklace, little like cross necklace thing going on. But also, she looks like somebody that should be telling me what the weather is going to be tonight. Like, she looks like a weather person.
Oh, my God. That's what they said last night. They said she looks like a news anchor, kind of like an Olivia Caridi vibe.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Deandra.
Deandra is 23. She is a home care coordinator from Plano, Texas. She says girl's girl to me.
Deandra just looks like – here's my assumption. She has most people aren't going to remember this name, but she's from my season. Lauren Barr. Lauren Barr was this beautiful, giddy girl from Oklahoma who came on my season who got really overwhelmed really quickly and asked to go home. She dumped me at the rose ceremony. Deandra kind of looks like somebody that this is going to overwhelm very quickly.
Okay.
Eunice
is 23, a flight attendant from Chicago. If you guys remember, Peter's mom was a flight attendant and his dad was a pilot, and that's how they met. So I wonder if he has a fetish for flight attendants, or whether he thinks that storyline mimicking his parents would be weird. I'm going to say that Eunice sticks around for a while for some reason. Don't know why.
Bubbly is how I'd explain Eunice. Hannah Ann.
23. She is a model from Knoxville, Tennessee, who I think looks like a mix of Jenna Dewan and Sarah Hyland.
Hannah Ann has very similar eyes to my girlfriend Jessica. And so I look at Hannah Ann and I know what happens when I look at Jessica, and like their eyes just like entrance you. Like, it's like I can't stop staring at your eyes because they're just so beautiful.
She is really, really cute, and I think she's going very far.
Yeah, she's going to be around a while. Jade.
Jade is 26, and she's a flight attendant from Arizona.
Wow. I see a theme.
We've got another flight attendant here. I remember yesterday finding out that there was some drama around here. Oh, yes, I remember. So apparently she's recently divorced and her in-laws have been talking smack about her on the internet. Her ex-in-laws.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
What's being said, Ashley?
I don't know. I just heard that it was negative things.
Oh, how – that's not fun. Well, when I look at her then, you say that and now all of a sudden I'm thinking – drama.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first word that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Jasmine,
25, a client relations manager from Houston, Texas. You know what? Harrison's saying it's aggressive, just dirty, when she comes out of the limo firing Vietnamese at Peter. When it's translated, ooh, it's aggressive and just dirty.
So when I think of that, I always like it when people kind of push the envelope a little bit. I think Jasmine's a good time. Like, she's somebody that would make me giggle.
Hey, it worked for Caitlin Bristow because you could plow the F out of her field.
Yeah, it did work. Caitlin just kept going ever since. Hey, Jenna.
Jenna is 22. She is a nursing student. And Harrison calls her bold, funny, and strong from the start.
She looks confident. To me, like she oozes, hey, I know who I am.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Katrina.
Katrina is 28, another one of the older ones, a pro sports dancer with more personality than she knows what to do with, Harrison says. And again, she has a very aggressive introduction into the season.
Here's the thing, Ash. I don't think when Harrison describes somebody as aggressive,
it's a bad thing.
It's usually a bad thing.
Oh, it usually is a bad thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I wasn't sure whether that to me that to him is just a standout.
Okay. Well, maybe. I mean, I'm just thinking like, hey, when I think of aggressive, I think of the guys and the girls who like can't stop trying to kiss the lead and like doesn't want to, like they're just like all of them all over him. Mm-hmm. And so typically like on the first night, if aggressive is kind of the way that we're defining him, I don't know if that works.
Like, okay. Yeah, I agree. Usually like confident and confident yet soft
bubbly.
At the same time works. Approachable,
that kind of stuff. Okay, Kelly.
Kelly, 27, is a Chicago-based attorney. This is the girl. This is the lawyer that he met at the wedding. Oh, it even says in this ET article, additionally, it turns out that Kelly and Peter randomly met prior to the show, which turns out to be a thing night one when everybody starts to find out. Of course it does.
Yeah, I look at Kelly and I think girl that you meet before the show at a wedding, meaning like she has definitely knew that Peter was going to be there and definitely didn't want to hold back that she was going to be on the season thinking it would help.
I don't think it's going to turn like a Liz situation, though. You know, Liz.
No,
you guys know Liz. I think this girl is going to go further than Liz did.
Yeah, I think she'll be around a bit.
They didn't sleep together. Kelsey? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a little caveat that we should add. Like, they didn't sleep together. Kelsey.
Kelsey is 28. She is a former Miss Iowa. She's now what I don't know. I don't know what she does. It's called professional clother. Clothier.
Professional.
I think it's a stylist. And Harrison's calling her one of the most emotional women in the cast.
It would make sense that her picture is her just not smiling then.
Yeah. She looks moody. She looks easily agitated.
She looks emotional. Like very emotional. Kiera.
Kiera, 23, a Georgia-based nanny, impressed Harrison on night one by putting herself in danger.
Danger. I just don't look at – this is what I think. I just don't look at her and think of danger.
I
just don't.
I think friendly as well. I think bubbly. Yeah, like
bubbly and not danger.
Maybe
if I'm honest,
try hard. Maybe she's a try hard. That's
yeah,
what I was
what
thinking
happens.
Of. Yeah.
She like climbs to the top of the Bachelor Mansion and shouts from the rooftop or something. I don't know.
She's like, excuse me, Peter. Is she the interrupter? I'm going to call her the interrupter of the night one.
Okay. I like that. We got to categorize that. Kylie.
26, an entertainment sales associate from Santa Monica. So we have our standard LA girl. Mm-hmm. And her limo entrance includes a reference to the windmill situation.
I was hoping that wouldn't be overplayed. I have a feeling it's going to be overplayed this season.
Oh, heck yeah.
Kylie, to me, I mean, she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's really pretty.
I look at Kylie and I think she's going to be around a while.
I think so, too.
And here's my first – and she knows it.
Yep, you're right. She even knows how to like hold her hands in a photo to like not be awkward,
which nobody knows how to
do. No, that's such an LA thing. She's like been in front of the camera too much.
Lauren
Jones, 26, marketing executive, and Harrison calls her. Ooh, this is very interesting. The envy of almost every woman on the show on night one. So I'm going to say she's got a good personality.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that the vein in her right bicep is incredibly impressive.
Wow, that's like an Angelina Jolie arm.
Yeah, great arms. Lexi.
Lexi, I think she's really pretty. She looks like Jessica Chastain. I like the fact we have a redhead on the show, but I also heard that she's a natural blonde, so she's just trying to be different and unique. and then Harrison says that she really impresses Peter night one with her cool limo entrance. Yeah, she just seems like kind of effortless. She's like, I'm good.
I want to know what kind of face she thought. Like, what was the directive when the photographer's like, okay, look confident yet sassy yet a little bit mysterious, and this is the face she gives us.
I have a question. Speaking of that photo shoot, do you think that they tell some girls to like smile and some girls not to smile based on like how they want them to appear on the show?
I think they take a bajillion pictures of everybody smiling, not smiling, yeah, laughing, great. And then they use which one they want.
I agree with you. Maddie Pruitt. Man, I think I know a Maddie Pruitt. Wait a second. Oh, she's Auburn-based. Never mind. I don't know who, but I think there was a girl named Maddie Pruitt at my high school. Anyway, she has a heart of gold, and she gets the first one-on-one date.
So we know she's
so past wow. Thanks for
one.
The spoiler.
Yeah, she's around for a bit, which if you get the first one-on-one date, it means that you're leaving a good impression. And I look at Madison / Maddie and think, yeah, this girl leaves a good impression. Hey, Ashley.
Raven-like.
Before we move on here, let's take another break. We're about halfway through the women. And when we come back, we're going to finish breaking down Peter's women on the 24th season of The Bachelor. Ash, it's almost the end of December. As much as we love getting seasonal, this month can be a bit stressful too.
It is.
We all know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's stressful. We've got a long list of things to do for the holidays. We're running around like crazy. It's ridiculous. If life insurance is one of the things way down on your list, Policy Genius might be able to help cross it off. They'll find you the right life insurance at the best price and do all the work to help you, yes, you, Ashley, myself, anybody out there listening, help get covered. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. You save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and red tape. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance or disability insurance.
So I went on Policy Genius to get disability insurance. It's something my dad has been telling me that I need to get for a while now. And it really, truly was a far easier process than I ever imagined. It was something that I put off for a while. And I was like, if I knew it was going to be that easy, I probably didn't have to put it off that long. So if you are in need of life insurance or other kinds of insurance, but you're not sure where to start, why not start at PolicyGenius.com? It only takes a few minutes to get the right life insurance policy, apply, and cross another thing off your to-do list. Nothing feels better than crossing something off your to-do list. Policy Genius, when it comes to life insurance, it's nice to get it right.
At Native, we create safe, simple, effective products that people use in their bathroom every day. Ashley, you go to the bathroom often.
What? How awkward are you? Well, Native deodorant is one of my favorite things to have in my bathroom because, one, it has the most amazing reviews, 8,000 five-star reviews from customers, and it's formulated without aluminum, parabens, and talc. Native deodorant has stuff filled in their products that are found in nature, like coconut oil, which is antimicrobial, shea butter, and that has moisture for your skin, and it's an emollient. And then there's tapioca starch, which absorbs wetness, and they also don't do animal testing, and they ship to you for free, and they do free returns as well, and it actually works. Like, a lot of people think that natural deodorant is BS and that like you're still going to be sweaty and stinky, but you're not with Native. I've tried it and I can vouch for this product. It's quite something, and I'm not poisoning my body.
Classic deodorant scents include coconut and vanilla. The most popular scent, by the way.
My favorite.
Lavender and rose. I'm always down to put a little lavender and rose on my body. Cucumber and mint, something that was always popular back in the day. I was a big cucumber mint fan. I used to rub it all over myself.
Cucumber melon.
Ladies love it. Yeah, oh, so good. Eucalyptus and mint. Here's the thing. No risk to try. We offer, and when I say we, I mean the whole Native family here. We offer free returns and exchanges in the USA. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code FAMOUS during checkout. Again, for 20% off. Listen up. Pause what you're doing right now. Listen up. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code FAMOUS during checkout. Hey, Ashley, before we dive back in, I want to make a little side comment here.
Okay.
And we've made it for the last two seasons. I know it, but I want to repeat it because I feel like when I'm envious of something, if I say it enough, then people actually start to feel bad for me. These women's pictures are all really good.
Yeah, they're really like, good. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this is a really pretty bunch. And I did see green pictures yesterday, but I'm seeing pictures with a white backdrop on this ET Online article, and they look really amazing.
Why couldn't this be our pictures? Like, if you look back at our pictures from any season, really before last season, they're all terrible.
I know.
Like, really, really bad.
Yeah, but then we surprised everyone once we were actually on TV.
Well, some of us did, Ashley. All right.
Wait, speaking of photos, you guys, for the second half of this, if you don't have the list of photos out in front of you, the best way to listen to this podcast segment is to get the photos in front of you. So it's up on ET Online. So just type in Peter's Bachelor Girls, ET Online.
Yeah. Thanks, ET, for giving us this little heads up. Hey, okay.
Marissa.
We're starting now with Marissa Gunn. She's 23 years old. Ashley, what do you think?
Teen pageant queen. She works as a patient care coordinator, and she's open about her past with body image issues. I think she just feels young. She feel young. Maybe it's because she won Miss Teen. So now I'm thinking about Marissa plus Teen. Yeah.
That makes sense. I get that. Yeah, she feels young. I mean, here's the thing. I don't know if as you're pursuing a wife, if the very first thing you want to know about them is that they're Miss Teen. I don't know if it is the first thing Peter knows, but I feel like automatically you go back to like being a teenager. And that, I don't know, that just feels weird to me. But here's the other part about her is if she's this open about body image issues throughout the show, I imagine that that's not just like night one, meaning yeah. She's around a little bit.
I agree.
So I'm looking into that thinking like, I bet she's around a bit. And the more and more I learn about body image issues, the more excited I guess I get when people are willing to openly and authentically talk about it. And when they do, I feel like they can be a game changer on the show, meaning like they can really bring connection and community to the show and to the house. Typically, those people last a while because the Bachelor also or the Bachelorette sees their impact and they go, I want that person around longer because people like them and I like them. So who knows? Megan,
she is like a Kate Hudson, Blake Lively type to me. I feel like she could be like Aaron Andrews out on the field doing reporting. She seems sporty to me. She seems like the active girl who like needs to fit a workout in and do every day at the Bachelor Mansion and run around the house. She's like the girl that runs around the house to do laps.
Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise, Ashley. She's a flight attendant.
Yeah, flight attendant who knows the other girl, Eunice, because they work for the same airline.
I want to know if it's Delta, because isn't that who Peter works for?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny if these were the flight attendants on his flight at one point?
That would be amazing, but I don't think we're going to get that. That'd be wild. That'd be so cool. No.
McKenna
is 22. She's a Canadian and a self-described fashion blogger and acne survivor. You know what?
Aren't we all belittle
that, but it is nothing to belittle. I had times in my life where I would cry leaving the house. My skin was so bad. So I get you, McKenna.
Natasha,
31, the oldest in the house, is a New York-based event planner with a sharp tongue and even a sharper wit. I see that. I see that I'm not afraid to say what's on my mind thing with her as well.
Yeah, she's here's the thing. Anybody from New York City, if they're a New York City event planner, they've got some honesty. They've got some forwardness to them. They are going to be very, very authentic in how they communicate. And I look at this picture and I look at Natasha and I see her background. I go, that girl is going to say what she thinks and she's going to be honest about it.
I see that too. Peyton, 23. Peyton. She looks kind of like Cassie. I'd say she has like a Cassie innocence about her, but she brings up the windmill, Harrison says, and he calls her the life of the party. It kind of sounds like this may be the girl that gets drunk night one and goes home.
That'd be unfortunate because Peyton's, you know, 23. This is a lot for a 23-year-old. I can imagine. I look at her and yeah, my first response would be she looks innocent. She looks sweet. She's got a wild side, don't we all? Hey, Sarah.
I don't have a wild side. You just said that and I was like, wait a second. I may be one of the few who has not an ounce of danger in them. Okay, Sarah Coffin, 24. Bless you. So she's from Knoxville, Tennessee, and she's a medical radiographer. She's a favorite from the start, Harrison says, and she's a house favorite because she cooks elaborate meals as well as a favorite of Peter's. So I say she sticks around for a while.
Did you just say Coffin, bless you?
I said Coffin, like, bless your soul. Bless you, child.
I think that's sneezing.
You know what? I tried to do something different. Didn't work.
That's really good. I like it. That's good stuff, Ash. You're funny. Sarah Coffin's obviously around a little bit. I think you know what you're going to get with Sarah when you look at her. Like, if I look at this picture, I'm thinking I'm getting – you know who she reminds me of? Ashley?
Yeah, she reminds me of someone, but I can't place it.
Megan Bell.
Oh, yes. I can see Megan Bell. She comes across like a Megan Bell in the description, too. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, cooking, just so sweet.
Who has time to cook elaborate meals when they're in the house?
Well, in the house when they're not on a date and it's an off day, yeah.
Okay. Savannah.
Savannah, 27, another bold limo entrance, and the Houston-based realtor is the first woman to kiss Peter on the season, but keyword, she kissed him.
Oh, boy.
So you never know how that works out.
I look at Savannah and I think, if I know that she was the first to kiss Peter and the emphasis is that she kissed him, I don't think Savannah is around very long.
I don't think so either.
We could be really wrong. Here, Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, 27, a favorite of the entire crew. That's interesting for them to even mention. That's easy really to work with.
I wonder why. Well, yeah, and probably appreciative. That's a big deal.
Uh-huh.
I remember a story that came out where Becca Kufrin actually, at the end of her season, right before Garrett came down, she stopped everything and said, I want you to put your cameras down for a second. And she goes, I just want to tell, she spun around in a circle with all the people out there watching and said, I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for all that you did on this season for me.
Oh.
And I remember that was a story that was shared with me. And at that point I was like, that's a person that this franchise needs. And if Cheyenne is that person as well, hey, she's going into this season. I am a fan favorite, or I am a fan of Cheyenne.
Yeah, I like her now. All right, let's we got a couple more
Sydney.
Left. Sydney, 24. Her picture is beautiful. Like, she's a little intimidating right now. She is sweet and soft spoken, and the former classmate of Hannah Brown. In high school.
I look at her and I think like soap opera from this picture. Like, meaning like she looks like somebody you would see on the cover of like As the World Turns.
Mm-hmm.
And on like, because she's beautiful, she's fierce, and she looked like she's staring into my soul. Just, I have to like scroll down on the page because I'm starting to like want to say things like, I'm sorry. She's like staring into my soul. There's a lot of depth there.
She's fierce. I think that's the perfect word for her.
Yeah. Tammy.
Tammy is 24. She's a house flipper with 6 jobs. So yesterday at the live draft, I learned a lot about Tammy. She has a lot of jobs that, you know, when somebody says they do this and they do that and they do this and they do that, and then you're like, oh, you're really just unemployed. That's Tammy. Yeah. Or at least based on her LinkedIn profile, which is where we got the information.
But credit to Tammy for at least talking about her six jobs, even if they don't exist.
Yeah. Another interesting tidbit about Tammy is that she wrestled for the boys team in high school.
That I've always thought about this, like, because I when I went to high school, there was a girl who was on the boys wrestling team, and she could have dominated me. Like, dominated me. And I wonder if, like, I would have married this woman, like, at night, if, like, we wanted to have fun, if she would just be like, let's wrestle. And I'd be like, no, please. Like, I don't wanna.
Oh, my gosh. Victoria Fuller.
Ashley,
yeah.
You keep referencing this bachelor draft. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what you participated in yesterday?
Okay. So, yesterday, I did this thing where we saw all the photos and we saw descriptions based on what we could gather online about these girls. And then we figured out who we each personally was going to name drunk on the first night, the crazy one, the villain, and then the winner and the next bachelorette. So this girl, the one that we have up next...
Victoria Fuller.
Victoria Fuller is the girl that I named villain. Now I don't remember what the info was that made me think of villain, but that's what I thought.
you think so? When I look at Victoria Fuller, I definitely don't see villain. But if it's the case, this will be one of the most shocking villains of all time to me.
There was some information that made me think that. I remembered why I thought that she was a villain, but that's what I think.
Well,
she
you're
is.
you're throwing something out there, Ashley, that we're going to keep an eye on. If Victoria Fuller is the villain or not on this season, it would be shocking. But hey, I've been surprised many times before. Another Victoria Paul. She's 27 years old. Ashley, what do you know about her?
I don't know much, but I do know that she's like got her Sports Illustrated face on. She's a nurse from Louisiana. And she, Harrison describes her as strong, independent, quick with her emotions, and maybe a little bit too quick for the L word. So I'm guessing that this is the girl that drops the love word on her first one-on-one.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, Ashley, we've gone through each woman now. It's a beautiful cast. Ashley, we did this last year. We're going to do it again this year. Listeners, we asked you to do the same. Ashley, I want to know from you, who gets the first impression rose? Who does Peter end up with at the end, and who is the villain of the season? You've already answered the villain, but I want to know who gets the first impression rose, and who does Peter end up with at the end of the season?
I feel like first impression rose is going to be Lexi, the redhead, because they said that she was like had a really cool entrance, like just suave. And then I feel like Kylie might get far. Crazy night one. Well, who did I say was, I got to look at these pictures again. Drunk night one. The crazy might be Tammy. I might call Tammy the crazy one just because she has six jobs and she might be like that girl who does too much. Do you know what I mean? Like the extra girl. She might be a little extra because of that.
She's like trying to impress and say she has six jobs.
Yeah.
And like, That's what she enters in with, and it gets weird. Yeah. I'm going to go first impression rose, Hannah Ann. I think Hannah Ann gets the first impression rose.
Okay.
I also then think Alexa goes really, really far. I think she, just from what we're reading about her and kind of her expression, I think she goes insanely far. And I have the crazy on night one. I am going to go Jade. I think Jade has some just like a lot of spunk. And I think she's going to end up being the villain of the season. And I'm going to go with you, Victoria. Victoria is kind of the underdog villain that I don't expect, but it will be interesting to see if it happens. Ashley, here's my thoughts on Peter's season. It's going to be a great season. These are beautiful women. Every single one of them we went through and we're like, okay. Well, this could definitely be as well. I am so pumped to see these women and Peter start dating on the 24th season of The Bachelor.
So crazy. Can I come back with my picks next week after I look at these girls a little bit more?
Ashley, we've got 3 weeks to come back. Every week you can change it. Listeners, like, we ask you to do the same thing. Please write us. Please tweet us. Message us on Instagram. Who are your favorites? Let's just do three categories to keep it easy. Who gets the first impression rose? Who does Peter end up with at the end? And who will be the most dynamic and not controversial, but polarizing villain of the season. Ashley, we're so close.
We're so close. I like the way that next week we have like this series interview with Chris Soules, and I'm going to be like, hey, Chris, before we get to that, I just want to give you my first impression, Rosbeck.
Yeah, let's see what Peter's going to do. Ashley, one email that we got written in that we wanted to answer this week, it's from Meg. Shaking of the head, it says, you asked Taylor Nolan last week why she said yes to Derek if she wasn't in a place to be engaged. Her response was, I don't think I said yes. I just shook my head. But to me, a shake of the head is still a response. Let me pause there. I'm still confused by this. Like, engagement is not something you just shake your head and all of a sudden you find yourself engaged. Like, how this wasn't, like, followed up with in, like, a conversation of being like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It blows my mind on why a shake of a head is all of a sudden has a ring on the finger. But that's beyond the point.
The expression is she said yes, you know, for a reason.
Like, and you spent months engaged. So, like, at what point did you – I didn't say yes, actually. Like, I'm not really engaged. I don't know. But the email ends like this. It says from Meg, it says, it got me thinking about the proposal for Demi and Christian. Demi didn't respond either. She just shook her head. Did Demi not want to say yes? Were there already problems since they broke up shortly after? I have zero idea. But I, from what I saw of Demi and Christian in person at the finale and around L.A., they seemed really, really happy, and it seemed very, very authentic and real. I don't know what happened to end their relationship, but I don't think it's similar. I think they both were fully believing they were engaged.
I don't know, because if that engagement, if Demi accepted the ring in August and then they were broken up by October, I would feel there was enough doubt in there for her to not say the actual word yes as well. But maybe I'm just playing devil's advocate. Yeah, I know. She definitely needs to come on.
We need to bring her on. Hey, here's the thing. Here's to summarize all that. How you end up engaged without like actually following up and be like, hey, I didn't really mean shaking my head. I still don't get it. But you know what? I don't get a lot of things about this world. Anyways, hey, quick reminders for everybody out there listening. We love you. We care about you. I had people come up to me this week, Ashley, at the Generous Coffee Shop in Denver saying that they are your biggest fans. Then at Capital One a week and a half ago, people came up and said they're your biggest fans. People love listening to you. They love the podcast. It continues to be something that Ash and I are so thankful for. And we're so close to another season of The Bachelor, and we hope you join us on this journey of love and conversation once again. And we also hope you join us in person in San Francisco, California, January 11th. Doors open at 7 p.m. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. This is the Almost Famous Live with Ashley, myself, and I'm telling you this, many, many massive guests. This will be a podcast you don't want to miss, and it's going to be a night you don't want to miss. There's going to be crowd interaction, games being played, meet and greets, conversations. I'm assuming here, here's the shocker, Ashley. There's going to be tears. There's going to be laughs. There's going to be insane experiences. And to sum it all up, there's going to be memories made. So join us January 11th at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco, California.
It's a great
Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah, it's a great Christmas gift to get for somebody if you can't figure out what to get them by this point, and then they're a Bachelor fan and they live in San Francisco. Like, it's just right there. It's just so obvious. You just got to do it.
Also, Ashley and I's favorite episodes, the in-depth episodes in the Almost Famous podcast, will be interviewing Chris Soules, which will air December 23rd, anywhere you can listen to podcasts, but especially on the iHeartRadio app. Ashley, hey, let's get this thing moving again. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. See ya.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.